97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, we have an answer for one of the reasons why Alec Burks didn't play. Sixers outsider Tyrone Johnson texted.
Yeah, I texted. I just asked him any reason, any update on why Burks didn't play. His response was red eye, tired. Wasn't feeling it. Didn't want to do it. What? Wasn't feeling it.
What the hell's going on?
Can't stop. That's about right.
Perfect drop.
Well done.
Yeah, I think Glenn Robinson III hops on a plane. First of all, the fact that they weren't available for Memphis drove me nuts, but it just, you know, I'm a big Phillies fan, and they traded for Corey Dickerson this past year. That took like 4 days for him to finally show. And that was from Pittsburgh. We're all sitting there going, is he walking? And then Alec Burks decides to take his sweet time. How is that possible? How is it possible that they allowed him to take his sweet time?
5 days to get here?
Look, man.
5 days to get suited up?
I understand that
it'll be seven for Burks.
We are human beings, okay? And we have lives and all that crap. If I am the Sixers, I'm going, son, you're under contract. You got to get on the first plane now. We need to win basketball games. None of this, like, red-eye crap.
Well, and I don't mind giving them a day.
By the way, the game is at 6 o'clock. Get a nap in.
Well, and here's the thing. I think that, again, we talked about this with Kobe. We oftentimes lose sight of the fact that these are people. They are human beings. They don't have robot brains and robot bodies. They don't have a motor. They run on the same thing that you and I run on.
100%. You're under contract.
Okay, so here's the thing. We don't work in a business. Most 99% of people don't work in a business where one day your boss can go, hey, by the way, I've traded you to a company across the country. You are due to report and be on the air tomorrow night.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's not doable.
Unfortunately, a lot of the listeners would love if I was traded to Shreveport, but you're right. And I understand
Shreveport,
all that.
Shreveport is not far enough. We trade you to the moon.
For some listeners, it's not. I understand what you're saying, but the excuse of he caught a red eye, he was tired, is horrendous.
Now that's a bad excuse.
6 o'clock. I think that's awful. Look, I'm nitpicking here, but that just pisses me off. We're gonna trade for bench help, and then we're gonna allow the bench help to just take a sweet time getting here.
Are you gonna trade for bench help and then let them take their time getting here, but remember. They cut Jonah Bolden wasn't playing.
Jonah Bolden sucked.
But they cut Trey Burke. So their bench is short on top of short because the two guys they expect to be here aren't playing up until tonight, of course, Glenn Robinson played. And then two guys that they had on their bench while were getting little minutes were technically bench depth are gone. So you have a shortened bench on a bench that's not that great to begin with.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, you look at the bench tonight. It was Mike Scott, Glenn Robinson III, Josh Richardson, Matisse Thybulle, Korkmaz. Now, Richardson's really a starter, so you switch him with Shake Milton, but which still blows my mind that Shake Milton got 13 minutes tonight. Once again, we're nitpicking because they won the game 118-111, but
we're nitpicking because we are angry at this team.
It's gotten to the point, Tyler, where I'm kind of not even satisfied when they win because it's when you play the Bulls, it should be expected. But they've shown you flashes of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde so much this season that I no longer find the same exuberant feeling that I was at the beginning of the season because it's like, yeah, okay, they're going to beat the Bulls and they're going to lose the first game on the road, whoever they play.
I was producing for Devon and Joe Torti sometime earlier this week. And the one thing that I said to them, and I still feel it's true, and I can't shake this feeling, which is such a weird feeling to have when you not only work in sports, but you live and die with your sports teams. I don't know how to feel when they win basketball games. I know how to feel when they lose, because I know how to feel when they lose to a good team. Okay, they lost to a good team. I definitely know how to feel when they lose to a bad team, because it shouldn't happen. I don't know how to feel when this team wins. Like, I feel meh about a win over the Bucks, and I feel meh about a win over the Bulls because I don't know what to say anymore.
Well, and this has just been, I think the problem is that we're sitting here on February 9th, and it's just been such a disaster of a season so far. I mean, nothing has gone as planned, nothing. including, by the way, and I was one of the guys to say it, I tried to expose myself this week, but the proclamation that Jimmy Butler was heading to Miami to be the sixth seed in the East is ironic at this point, because as you're sitting here, the Sixers are the five seed in the East. They would actually end up playing the Heat in a matchup
with Miami
right now,
getting the first two home games.
And that's the problem, is we're sitting here watching this team going, okay, the reality is if they start the season on the road, they're in deep, deep crap, because they can't win on the road. And whatever it is about traveling on the road, they struggle. So I look at this team and I go, you're going to need veteran buyout help. But there's an issue with the veteran buyout period that we'll get to. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the issue of the veteran buyout period right after Chuck in North Philly has been waiting patiently. Chuck, you're on the Fanatic.
What's going on, fellas? The one thing that, just like you said, with the guy not playing tonight because of the red eye, number one, he has a job to do. And it just speaks to the culture here, set by Brett Brown, who, he's a nice guy. He went through the process, all that. But he isn't the guy for these young guys.
No, he's the guy. He's the guy to get you to the guy.
I'm a Bulls fan.
Doug Collins.
Doug Collins to Phil Jackson. And yeah, a lot of guys were upset with that, but it just had to happen.
It was Paul Westhead in L.A. And
there you go.
You could go Mark Jackson in Golden State. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on, and there's nothing wrong with having that.
But the Mark Jackson thing, though, I really believe Mark Jackson is a coach that can get you to the next level. I just feel like he just bit off more than he could chew with the top end of the people above him and everything. But getting back to the Sixers, though. The Sixers, to me, just like you said a second ago, when they win, I still don't get no good feeling about it. It's just like,
exactly.
With the talent they have, I could see the Sixers getting to the playoffs, because, like we all know, the game is shot making. With the talent that they have, even before the trades, if you make shots with the big time players that you have, they could go somewhere. Just because it's like on cruise control. But when you talk about the game stopping and have to be thought out, a next move, a chess match, right then and there, with Brett Brown at the helm, is where I just say all bets are off. They're not going nowhere.
No, and Chuck, I agree, man. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I didn't want to bring it up just because I feel like I've done plenty of shows on it, but yeah, I don't think there's a bigger Brett Brown hater on the station than me. I mean, I've been banging that drum that the fact that he's currently employed right now is a joke, and I haven't gotten one good excuse from anybody, fan, insider, anybody. And we have the luxury of this job of talking to some people that really, really, truly know basketball.
Correct.
And the thing that I keep hearing when I ask them, why is Brett Brown still hired? I get, you don't fire coach mid-season if you think you're contending. Which to my response is, well, they're not contending. I mean, they're the five seed. That's not contending. So here's how this is going to play out, folks. The Sixers are going to get the four seed, five seed, whatever. They're either going to lose in the first or second round.
I think you can book that.
I agree.
I really do.
And as soon as they lose, they're going to fire Brett Brown. And the first show that I do after they fire Brett Brown is all going to be on the organizational malpractice of letting a guy coach a team knowing full well that he is not the guy. And they know it, and I know it, and you know it, and probably Brett even knows it, that at this point, his message has lost all ears in that locker room, to the point where he was asked about it by the media this past week, and his response was, I don't know, go ask the players. And what are the players going to say to that? Oh, yeah, we stopped listening to that guy. Exactly. But it's painfully obvious to Ray Charles at this point that this guy is not the guy. And there's usually, when you look at franchises that win championships, there usually is a guy that gets you to the guy, especially with young cores. And you saw it with the Toronto Raptors, who fired the coach of the year and then hired Nick Nurse. They had no problems firing that guy. They didn't do it mid-season. But my problem is, if the Sixers truly think at this point, being the five seed, that they are, quote, contending, then they are right back to where they were before we started the whole process. Conundrum. that you're not contending. And that was the whole point of starting the process was you get into the 5, 6, 7, 8 seed, you are in purgatory. You are one of the teams that's going to be drafting late and having absolutely no shot at winning a championship. And now the issue that I was going to bring up about the veteran buyout period is because of the number 5 seed, they have no shot, in my opinion, of getting really any veteran buyouts. Maybe Deion Waiters because he would want to come home, but even then, when you're a veteran buyout, you're looking for two opportunities. One, to win a championship. The Sixers aren't it. And the second one is a place you can start. The Sixers aren't it. So if you're a veteran right now and you were bought out and looking for a team, why the hell would you pick Philly?
There are,
and it pains me to ask that question, but why would you pick this team?
There are probably, to me, 6 or 7 teams, if I am a veteran, that I'm picking over the Sixers right now. I mean, stop number one, without a doubt, is the Los Angeles Lakers. I know that they don't have the best record in the league, but any chance to go play for the Lakers with a team that's a championship contender, you're going to do it.
Well, and you just saw Darren Collison, who was, he retired abruptly from the Indiana Pacers. Then, of course, like they all do, he thought, maybe I kind of want to play basketball.
Give it one more shot.
And the two places he was targeted to go to were the LA Lakers and the LA Clippers.
Yep.
And he apparently today announced that he was not going to be unretiring. He was going to wait until the offseason to do that and then reassess. But you're right. If you're looking at the West, Lakers, Clippers, that's easy.
Correct. Then you look at the East. Obviously, Milwaukee, 45-7. That's a team to go to. Then you start to look at teams that are good teams, but they're either destination spots or they have a starting spot. So, like, the Miami Heat is a destination spot. Obviously, especially after making the trades, they're a little bit better. You want to go play in Miami with a chance to win the championship. I don't know if Toronto, I know you're not as high on them as I am, but I don't know if Toronto's not a destination spot for a buyout player to land on.
No, I agree. I think Toronto is. I think Milwaukee. I think the top three teams really in each division are going to be a place that you would look at if you're a veteran buyout. One of the places you're probably not looking is a team that is in the 5 seed who already has all their starters. There's no point of that.
Well, and that's the problem is, and then you start looking at the teams that have their starters. Like, to me, if I had a choice as a non-Philadelphia resident, not somebody that grew up with the Sixers, if I was just a basketball player, and I had a choice between the Sixers and the 5 seed at 33-21, knowing I won't start and having that glimmer maybe, or the Brooklyn Nets, who are 5 games under 500, but you may be able to find your way into a starting lineup because of the way that Kyrie's often hurt and the fact that they use a ton of different guards in Dinwiddie and LeVert. And the bigs aren't, you know, the world beaters like Jared Allen's their starter. I don't know if I wouldn't pick Brooklyn over the Sixers because you've got Brooklyn.
Yeah, I look at the Sixers right now as a team that, and to be fair, by the way, there's a possibility that they could still get people because you look at when they got Marco Bellinelli, you look at when they got Ersan Ilyasova, both those guys were coming off the bench, and they probably couldn't get starting roles anywhere else, but this team also was the number 3 team in the East at the time, so that's a possibility where, okay, I'm coming off the bench, but I'm coming off the bench for a very good team. When you look at this team now, they don't have a strong bench still. I mean, even with the additions of Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III, but maybe possibly a guy could look at it like a Deion Waiters and say, okay, but now I'm taking Furkan's 25 minutes off the bench. Maybe. I still highly doubt
and that. Again, that brings us like full circle again. I don't know if Deion Waiters to me is worth giving up Furkan's minutes. I don't.
Yeah, so here's my thing about Deion Waiters. I agree 100% that he is a ticking time bomb. I think he's been like that pretty much his entire career. Something clicked in Miami for a little bit there, but then the season the wheels fell off. But he's so talented. And at this point, it's like a J.R. Smith situation. Would you want Deion Waiters or would you want Shake Milton? Shake, here's your trip to Delaware. I-95 straight down. You'll be there in about an hour.
Yeah, it's Deion Waiters. Question. That's not a hard question.
The fact
to
is, Deion Waiters brings this team closer to a championship now. And they're not close to a championship.
Yes.
So he makes it a little bit easier, and you could see Deion Waiters hitting a bucket. And also, you could see a Deion Waiters being that guy to take a clutch shot late in the game, which is something they do not have right now. If it's late in the game, who is taking your clutch shot? Here's how that plays out. Ben Simmons brings the ball. Ben Simmons drives on a 6'1" guard. Ben Simmons jumps, turns, and looks frantically for somebody who's open to kick out. And that person is probably covered. So he ends up getting the ball, but has absolutely no shot. And now they're forcing a rushed up shot. Now, you could blame that on Ben. You could blame that on the coaching, whoever it is. But they don't have a J.J. Redick. They don't have a Jimmy Butler. They don't have a closer right now. And Deion Waiters could be that. And that is why I would bring in Deion Waiters in a heartbeat if he was interested. But once again, I don't know how many of these guys are really going to be interested. Because the Sixers...
Very few. Yeah, I mean, truly say it's very few.
Yeah, the fact is they are not a destination. And it truly does pain me to say that, but they're not. This team is an average basketball team that has a ton of holes, mainly being the guy calling the plays. And I keep getting asked weekly, it seems like, either on Twitter or even by family members, is it time to trade Ben Simmons? Is it time to trade Joel Embiid? I got that text 2 days ago from my dad. And I keep responding to all of them the same thing. Until I see a new coach with a new voice, new plays, new ideas, I'm not trading anybody. But when you look at this basketball team, they're not well coached. They're so hit or miss that it is virtually impossible for me to figure a situation where they end up getting out of the East. And that was not the case.
Wasn't the case, yeah, in September. Here's my question to you, and this is really how I keep coming back to this, because I don't disagree with you. I don't think that Brett Brown is the guy. I don't think Brett Brown's been the guy for me, for the last 3 months. And I was a pretty heavy Brett Brown supporter, because you know I always like to say greater than or equal to when it comes to coaches. Yeah. Because you're not going to fire a guy for, you know, me to go take over. The problem is you find yourself in this catch-22 that you bring up a lot of times. If you're not going to fire a guy, you have a lame duck coach, you're wasting a season.
Yeah, they're wasting my time right now.
So let me ask you this. If you do fire Brett Brown and you bring in a new voice and they get to the same exact spot, have you not wasted a season anyway?
In the sense of if they fire Brett Brown right now and they bring in a new guy?
Let's assume.
Yeah, but at least they tried. At least they acknowledged their issue.
Because I don't think that they're going to go out of house. I would assume that it would probably be somebody like Ime Udoka who would take over.
And there's a really easy way to do that. Every other sport does it. It's called an interim tag.
I don't disagree.
Drives me nuts that basketball is the only sport we can't do this.
I'm just wondering, for you, does that change anything for you because of the fact that they likely will end up in the same exact spot?
No, because at least the organization...
So then what's the point of firing them?
Because we know what we have in Brett Brown. We have no idea what we have in Emi Adoku.
You want to play mystery box?
Yeah, because this isn't a situation of... Here's the mystery box. You can have an average coach who we've seen for 6 seasons, who has lost the locker room, or you could have anything else.
Okay.
Give me anything else.
What if it's worse?
Then their draft pick's better. They don't actually have their draft pick.
That's the issue.
It's worse than ours, then it's worse, because you can chalk it up to growing pains from a different voice. But honestly, I ask you, how could it be worse at this point? How could it be worse?
I think it could be worse because of the fact that they still are an outside, like I talked about, that glimmer contender. I don't think that they have a legitimate shot, but they've got a glimmer. I don't know if that glimmer totally dies out if they bring in a new coach right now. I am all for a new coach for the 2020-2021 season. And I know that it pains
you. Are you actually telling me you would keep Brett Brown right now and not fire him right this second?
I don't think that, again, I don't like to play the mystery box game. I don't like Brett Brown. I don't.
They got blown out.
But I can't play mystery box.
So what does Brett Brown have to do right now? Like, you're so scared.
I'm terrified.
Like, you are the person in the relationship who's terrified of breaking up with the girlfriend because they don't want to be single. Even though you know you're not marrying that person. You know they're a terrible person. You know you don't like them. But God, I just don't want to be single and I don't want to get out there and start swiping right. That is a terrible excuse.
Do you know how hard it is going to be on this city and how much it's going to let us down and put us more into the dirt than we already are? If this thing yields nothing, this entire process yields nothing.
It hasn't yielded anything and it's not going to yield anything with Brett Brown. But you'd rather sit here and waste my damn time with a coach that everybody knows is not the guy.
I think you're wasting your time either way.
But you don't know. So the options are not win anything or possibly win. Because you have no idea. It's a mystery box.
Correct.
Now, you could get worse, but at that point, it doesn't really matter. If it gets worse this season, it doesn't matter.
I am so afraid of failure for this team. Like,
they're failing!
Let me put it this way. When the Phillies fired Gabe Kapler, I had
and
no...
And they fired him too late.
And that I agree with, because they were... Baseball, to me, you can fire midseason because the season is two times longer than anything else. When the Phillies fired Gabe Kapler, I did not fear a backward step. And the reason I didn't fear a backward step was because I knew that it couldn't get any worse than Gabe Kapler. I don't know if it can't get any worse than Brett Brown.
They are the number five seed. They're going to start on the road. They might lose in the first round, and if they play Miami, they probably will. How can it get worse? You're so sick. Dude, it is already worse. We're already pretty close to rock bottom. They are healthy. Okay? They have played most of the season healthy with a starting five that on paper should have dominated. It's already worse. There is no, it could get worse. What? Okay, so they're the eight seed. Like, at this point, I'm already checked out. They're the five seed. If they start on the road, does anyone really think they're going to make it out of the first round if they start on the road?
There are certain concerns if they start on the road. My worry is not this season if they continue to let it get worse. My worry is the collective locker room, not only this season, but moving forward. Something is going to break very shortly. The dam is being held up by duct tape and bubble gum. And when that thing breaks, it's not getting repaired. It's getting taken down and a new one is being
break
built.
Break it. Because the dam has been put up by Brett Brown, who lets his superstars do whatever the hell they want, who lets Alec Burks just show up and yawn his way on the bench. I mean, this is ridiculous. He has built a culture with this organization to allow guys to do whatever they want with no repercussions. And you're telling me that you'd rather have that because, God forbid, somebody comes in and possibly improves it. But on the flip side, oh my God, they might slip to the seven seed where they would also lose in the first round.
It's not this season.
Okay, dude, if we have players on this or on this team who are going to get so flustered in 2 to 3 months with an interim head coach, then we have a much bigger issue. Because if he's an interim head coach...
Do you not think there's an issue now? Doku,
there is an issue. It's Brett Brown and the culture that he's built. So flip that, fire him, get somebody else in here, interim or not, and get a new culture in here. Shake things up. I mean, I can't believe this. No other sport will we say this. Like, no, none. You would never sit here and say, God, we can't fire Chip Kelly midseason because... What if the guys don't like running up tempo? It might get worse.
Chip Kelly got fired when they were 4-11.
No one sat here and said, God, we can't fire Gabe Kapler. It possibly could get worse. They might not have coconut oil. Nobody sat there and said, God, we can't fire Craig Berube. Oh my God, it might get worse.
None of those teams.
No other sport do we say
that. None of those teams had the talent the Sixers team has.
And they're not winning with the guy. So how can it get worse? They're not winning with them. I don't get this logic. They're the five seed. They're about to lose in the first round of the playoffs to the Heat. The team where you let the closer go to. It can't get any worse. This is it. Seven seed, eight seed, it's all a blur. It's the same thing. It's like saying, okay, you're in King of Prussia, but now you're in Glenn Mills, but now you're in Conshohocken. But guess what? When they all leave the city and someone asks where you're from, Philadelphia. That's what the five, six, seven, and eight seed are. You're the same damn thing. It's just a different number. 610-632-0975. Pat Egan, Tyler Zuliel, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alright, Dylan is in there. So me and Dylan are probably the two biggest movie guys at the station. You got other people who haven't watched a movie that they've liked in the last 20 years.
Or you can have, you know, Boomer Andrew, who's just never seen anything.
No, I got so much heat because of... So,
Andrew always gets really excited when he sees a movie because he loves telling me, like, oh, I saw a movie. So I was like, all right, well, what is it? His favorite line in our group chat is, I understand that reference.
It is, yeah. So he goes, oh, I saw a movie. I'm waiting for it, you know, to hear what it is. Like, all right, well, what is it? He goes, a deer hunter. I go, wait, are you serious right now? You're such a boomer. There's nothing against the movie, but I'm expecting something made in the last 20 years. But of course, he watches the Deer Hunter because, you know, he remembers that war. So, so me and Dylan last year, we made this Oscar bet. You know, we picked the categories, whatever. And I won. I took the $25 from him. He is in there, just pomp and circumstance, just flipping out, like acting like Elton John right now, just high stepping it. And I can't figure this out.
First of all, I gotta ask you, is he annihilating you in these picks?
I honestly don't even know.
Dylan, how many picks are you up right now?
We picked six different things. There were six things that we disagreed on. Right now, I'm 4 out of 6.
Yeah, I mean, I took some chances for sure.
So there's definitely no comeback. But
yeah, no, I knew I took some chances, but, and also I'm doing a radio show, so it's kind of hard for me to pay attention to the Oscars, but I'm paying him with his own money. Like, I'm Teddy KGB. So it's just laughable to me that he's sitting here just basically talking a bunch of crap. It's like, you don't have room to talk. I'm paying you with your money. This is why I don't invite you to things. This is why. This is why you had to pay to see Birds of Prey, and you couldn't come see it for free. Moments like this, D-Train, you did it yourself. But I appreciate him because he subscribes to the YouTube channel. 610-632-0975.
Foxhole guy.
All right, that's enough of the Oscars talk. I cannot get over the argument we were having before the break, though, about Brett Brown. And I know we've had this argument, and it's kind of funny because we're having it after a win. You know, the Sixers go in tonight at home against the Bulls. They won 118-111 on really the back of Furkan Korkmaz, who had 31 points. Tremendous performance from him, but as a sports fan, I don't understand the logic when it comes to sports that literally in every other sport you can fire a guy if you're not happy with their performance. And yet in basketball, even if you're not quote unquote contending, but you think you should contend, you can't fire your head coach. And no one's going to be able to convince me that Brett Brown is going to be the guy that gets this team a championship. Because he's had 6 years, and at the very best, people will say, Adjury's still out, which is sad. But just shake things up, because at this point, I mean, what could hurt?
Full disclosure, based on our very heated 23 minutes, I do believe that if a coach needs to be fired, they can and should be fired midseason in the NBA. I do truly believe that. I'm not against you on that
point. Yeah, I mean, it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I am not against you on that point. What I am against you on is, I flat out said it. I'm not afraid to say it. I am terrified that this thing does not yield anything more than 5 straight second-round exits.
Yeah, and
then Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons moves on.
They're heading it. Well, right now, it's going to be a first-round exit this season, and then we'll see where we go from there. But 610-632-0975, I don't understand the logic that we cannot move on from a guy because you might slip into the 7th seed. God forbid. You know, and the reality is, some of these guys, like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they need a kick in the ass. They need to wake up a little bit. They need to hear a different voice, because both those guys, the only NBA head coach they've ever known is Brett Brown. That's it. And I just don't like the culture that he's built. It's too comfortable. It's a substitute teacher type culture where, you know, the sub would come in and you'd love it because it wasn't the teacher. It was like, all right, this is going to be an easy day. Hey, wheel in the TV. What are we watching? Three Ninjas? Huh? Maybe a Pixar movie? And does anybody ever remember the Titans? Can we watch? Remember, that was it. That was a substitute teacher. You loved it because you knew that, all right, now tomorrow's going to be the actual teacher and we're going to have to actually work. With Brett Brown, we've had 6 years of a substitute teacher, and he's well respected in the league, but he's not well respected because of his coaching ability. He's well respected because he took a job knowing full well that he was going to lose on purpose. Now, he didn't try to lose on purpose, and the players didn't try to lose on purpose. They played hard for him, but they didn't play hard because of Brett Brown. They played hard because a lot of these guys, this was their only opportunity to get in the NBA, and they wanted to show that they were NBA players. So that logic that they played hard for Brett, I don't think they really played hard for Brett. I think they played hard for themselves more than anything, because you're looking out for number one.
With the substitute teacher reference, the kids with one day, They talk, they shout, they joke. It's fun times. When you get 5 months of a substitute teacher, kids start throwing their shoes into ceiling fans.
Well, we've had 6 years.
You know, so, and that, to that point, I 100% agree, because I cannot have the ceiling fan come down, you know, without getting, it's.
And I understand it, man. Like, I did a whole show on, if the process does not yield a championship, then the process.
It's a failure.
While I'm a fan of it, was a failure.
It is a failure. And I'm not. So for you to say that, I thought the process is lame. I like what the process has yielded, because I love Joel Embiid and I love Ben Simmons, but I thought it was lame to begin with.
Yeah, I was a fan of it.
If it doesn't yield a championship, if you, who are a fan of the process, sits here and say, I think it's a failure, I'm sitting here saying it is annihilation. It is. Every job is cut. Every player, every coach is responsible for this. And you've given us 10 years of basketball where 4 of the years were miserable and 6 of the years were even more miserable because we had expectations.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, the whole point of this was to win a championship. And if you don't win a championship, I mean, yes, the organization is going to come out and say, we are tanking to win a championship. I think they said, you know, contender, whatever the word they use, because they don't want to put those expectations on themselves. But for you as a fan not to have the expectation, and also the organization not to have an expectation of winning a championship after this whole thing, they weren't losing on purpose to be the number 2 seed and be out in the second or third round. That wasn't the plan. The plan was, we're going to lose on purpose. We are going to acquire assets. We are going to draft high. And we are going to build a core that will be good enough to win an NBA championship. And I like that on paper. I really do. I hated how teams in the NBA get just mired in mediocrity. And you see teams like the Kings end up in salary cap hell, trading for... Like, the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers traded for Andre Drummond, like, what are you doing? You scratch your head at that move and say, do you honestly think there is any shot that you will contend? And that is what mediocrity can do to some teams. Is it's not necessarily the GM trying to save his own ass, because he knows that if they continue to lose, so the GMs that are with mediocre teams want to get them to the point where they just win just enough to keep him a job. Well, because they don't have any job security.
That's my question. Is you know, when you look at the teams that are around the Eastern Conference, because the Orlando Magic are the 8 seed, 9 games under 500, there are. Realistically, actually 4 teams. All right, let's say 3, because even though the Knicks are only 4.5 games out, they still are a putrid excuse for an organization. But there are 3 teams, the Washington Wizards, the Chicago Bulls, and the Detroit Pistons, who are all within striking distance of the Orlando Magic. The Detroit Pistons are 4 games out at 19-36. So they clearly have the plan to rebuild. So they're going to fall out. But the Bulls and the Wizards, I think, believe that when John Wall comes back next year, they're a title, not a title, but a playoff team.
Oh, no, I think they think they're a title team.
So
I because I think they're just naive.
If they were to make a trade to acquire Andre Drummond, or the Chicago Bulls were to have made a trade to acquire Andre Drummond, because they are only 3.5 games out of the Orlando Magic, that makes sense. Cleveland is 13-40.
It makes no sense.
They are 32.5 games behind the Bucks, and more importantly, they're 10 games behind the Orlando Magic.
Oh, yeah, it makes no sense. And you look at, you know, as I said, it all has to do with job security. And if you're a GM who thinks that you are going to get fired, you make brash moves like this that screw over the organization in 3 to 4 years, but okay, he'll improve my team right now, even though I know I'm not going to win a championship. And you look at, if you don't have job security in the NBA, that's when you start making these terrible decisions. And even Sam Hinkie only had 4 years. You know, it was like 3.5. No, I'm sorry. It was 3 years until the NBA forced Jerry Colangelo and Brian Colangelo on us, and then he finally bowed out after 3.5 years. So even then, it was like he didn't really have time to see this thing through. So looking at the whole angle of it, I don't like getting mired in mediocrity. And that's where the Sixers were, where you have articles written about why can't the Sixers win with Spencer Hawes. I don't know. Have you seen him play? Maybe that's why. Maybe have you seen Daddy's Young play? Like, he's a nice guy off the bench. But with the elite teams, they can't handle it. And the smoke and mirrors that you got after, what, the 2012 season, I think it was, When they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, really, because D. Rose just tore out his knee. And
so, yeah, they went to, game seven of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
And they did it with smoke and mirrors.
They would have been annihilated. We all know they would have been annihilated by the Miami Heat in that next round. It was a fake.
Oh, it's absolutely. But, you know, I mean, you start buying in. And
it was fun. Sure, it was fun, but it was a fake.
But you knew they weren't going to win. 610-632-0975. Aaron and KOP, sit tight. We got to hit a break, and then we'll get to you, and then you guys out there, 610-632-0975. It's Pat Egan, Tyler Zuli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we are back in the post. Pat Egan, Tyler Zuli, breaking down the
Not
Sixers.
Devon Givens, huh?
Not Devon Givens. He's off on Sundays. So Devon will be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, his normal spot. I suggest that you guys listen to Devon because he has forgotten more basketball than I think you and me know put together.
Combined, yeah.
Let's go to Aaron and King of Prussia, though. Aaron, you are on the Fanatic. Thanks for waiting, man.
Hey, I'm going to start off by saying I'm not a fan of the process, and never been. But that doesn't mean I don't think the process can work. And I think a lot of people get that mixed up. They think there's a process. Oh, I'm not a fan of the process. They think because I think it don't work. I just think when you start off, if you can't do your job and build a team, you take a cheesy way out. And I'm like, whether it works or not, I'm like, it's a cheesy way out. But it's ironic. 10 years after the process began, we were in the second round of the playoffs. We couldn't get out of the second round of the playoffs. And this team is still in that same position when you think about it. It's 10 years after, we're not getting out of the second round of the playoffs. So
I don't know. I don't know if they're getting out of the first round of the playoffs.
I guarantee you they're not getting out of the second.
But I tend to agree.
So there's no way, but sometimes people have no common sense, and one of the things I say about smartest people have no common sense, you can't use the same coach to go through the process as to win you a championship. That's just common sense. And right now, you think about all the players that have been here and out. I'm not really trying to hear that, oh, we can't find the right combination. You've had everybody from Bellinelli to Jimmy Butler to Covington to J.J. Redick, you should, if you're the coach and you know how to put a team together, you keep the right guys to make your system. But there's been about 20 guys that's, in the last 3-4 years that's been rotating in and out from the guard's name we had last year,
J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick.
The little feisty one.
Oh, T.J. McConnell.
You've had every type of player, and you can't put together a winning team because you can't use the same person to lose 90% of your games as to win a championship. And that's where we're stuck at right now. We got it. Everybody's still talking about we got to get more players. No, the job of a coach is there's no such thing. If you got Jordan on your squad, you don't say I don't go put Magic on the squad because they don't work together. As a coach, that's your job to figure out how to make them work together. You don't never say, oh, this guy, I'm not going to take Michael Jordan because he doesn't fit with the rest of the Dream.
Yeah, I agree. And
you got to make it work.
Yeah, and thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I agree. The fact that we sit here and have conversations about can Ben and Joe coexist, I think speaks to Brett's issues. Right, I agree. Like, it's your job as a coach to make sure that these guys can coexist. And the fact that we're even having that conversation should be one of the many red flags that go up of, okay, he's not the guy. But I tend to agree. It's not unheard of, right? You're the guy to get you to the guy. And I think we're still holding out hope that Brett Brown, who everybody likes, I mean, you know, he's got a great accent. He's likable.
Says all the right things. Yep.
Brett Brown is a guy you want to see succeed. He's just not doing it.
Well, and you know what the problem is, too? You talk about the everybody likes him and he gives you good quotes. At some point to me, and I know at some point to you, we're developing a bomber, we want to go star hunting or star developing. All of these things are fun and they sound good at the time. When you put things into audio form, when you put things into written form, they are with you forever.
Yeah.
And at some point, they turn against you.
I think that's one of the reasons why I have an issue with Brett, honestly, is he's put his foot in his mouth so many times that I'm losing track. And you just reminded me about we're star hunting and star developing, which led everybody, myself included, to think, oh, okay, LeBron, at least a lot of us. That there were some people that are still pounding their chest over the fact LeBron went to L.A. and they were right. Congratulations on that. But there was that issue. There was proclaiming that Zaire Smith was... Just even mentioning Zaire Smith in the same sentence as Kawhi Leonard. Then there was...
It's blasphemy.
Yeah, then giving yourself a date of the new year. We're building a bomber. Look, it's great for us in this medium of sports radio, but as a fan, he is giving himself expectations that he's not meeting, and he repeatedly has not met. That is one of my issues. When I think back on it, honestly, I don't know of a proclamation that he has made or a comparison that he's made.
That's been kept. None.
And I don't like coach speak at all. I find it boring, and it's a lot of times it's why I don't listen to post-game comments from coaches or anything, because they're all going to say the same stuff. Brett is a little bit different, where he will be a little more honest, but in this situation, it really hurts him. It really, really hurts him. And yeah, I look at Brett and I just go like, look, man, I like you. I just don't think you're the guy. And when you're looking at the 5 seed in the East, which they currently are, definitely not the guy. And you're not contending at the 5 seed. And that's my issue, is this notion that, well, if you want to contend, you don't fire a coach mid-season. The reality is, they're not going to fire Brett Brown.
No, they won't. Not a chance.
But it does surprise me that he is still the head coach. Because I thought that Elton Brand would come in and have a little bit of a quick trigger when it came to Brett Brown after last season. You know, he said the expectation was to reach the Eastern Conference Finals. They fell short of that. You can chalk it up to a Kawhi Leonard, you know, miracle shot, but also, even if Kawhi Leonard misses that shot, they still need to win in overtime, which people forget. Fine, Brett Brown starts the season. I don't think a lot of people, myself included, had a problem with it. But then you keep making excuses for Brett, like the starting five needs to play more together, which I've been hearing for the past 2 years. Every time they add a new player, it's like, well, hey, I've only played fill in the blank number of games together.
And we did that rhetoric, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe. It doesn't matter to me. We talked about teams that miss man minutes to injury. We talk about teams that have new rosters. The entire league, because of the fact that this is the one league that players run the league instead of teams running the league, in terms of salary cap, in terms of being able to demand trades and being able to, you know, get their release or their trade, sign and trade to another team, the team they want to play for. This is the only league that has turnover the way that it's as exponential as it is, because it just continues to grow as the players get more and more power and more control over salary caps and things like that. Every team every year has a revolving door, a revolving cast of talent.
Yeah. But it seems like in the city.
Why are we looking at it here?
Yeah, we make excuses. It goes back to what I was saying. We back up the goalposts and we make excuses for this team, because when you have such high expectations, it is hard to sit back and say, I was wrong. It's hard to sit back and go, how was I this wrong? A lot of people had to do with Doug Peterson, including hosts on our own station who bashed Doug Peterson and had to sit back and go, how did I miss this badly? I was so positive this guy was not a good coach. How did I miss this badly? Because it appears he's a good coach. And a lot of people continue to make excuses to back up their original point that Doug Peterson was like, well, it's Frank Reich. You know, it's the players. It's a weak schedule. I mean, I literally heard it and I was blown away. I'm like, just admit you're wrong. So a lot of fans, when they back up the goalposts, it's to reinforce their original opinion because they have a hard time admitting I was wrong. And it's not just fans, by the way. It's organizations. You see it all the time with draft picks. You'll keep a draft pick way longer than you really should because you're hoping that one day, and mainly I'm talking about football in this instance, but you're hoping that they finally become the player you thought they were going to be when you drafted them, and eventually you just have to cut bait and say, all right, this guy can't play. You see that all the time. You're about to see it with probably Sidney Jones in this offseason. So
you saw it with Nelson Agholor last offseason.
You're looking at a situation where fans are giving excuses left and right because it's hard for us who had the high expectations for this team to just go, yeah, I was wrong. This team's not as good as I thought they were. They have holes out the you-know-what, and they're not going to win a championship. And not only are they not going to win a championship, they're not going to get out of the East. Not only are they not getting out of the East, they're not getting out of the second round, and they might not even get out of the first round. And that is tough to do. But it is important to do because there's nothing wrong with admitting you're wrong because we've said this numerous times. If we shoot 60% in this industry, we're doing a pretty
doing
good
great.
Job. So I sat here, I did shows about how the Sixers were going to walk out of the East, and on paper, you thought they were, and all right, we're going to add the trade deadline and add, you know, during the veteran buyout period. I was wrong. They're not a very good team, and there's issues with that, but the easiest way to quickly fix it, and which is probably going to happen, is they're going to fire Brett Brown after the season, after a disappointing playoff run, and they're going to do a wide search for a veteran coach. And I can't see another scenario where that doesn't happen.
Well, and here's the thing. When you talk about your personal opinion of getting rid of a coach in the middle of a season, they had a guy that could have been the guy. I truly believe that in Monty Williams.
You could argue they had a guy who could have been the guy in
D'Antoni.
Yeah, D'Antoni.
I don't know enough. I don't want to put the guy in a paint a picture that I don't understand or that I don't know how to use the brush. I don't know enough about Udoka to say that he could be the guy. I knew Monty Williams, or at least I believed Monty Williams could be the guy. I believed D'Antoni could be the guy. I think that if they were going to make the midseason fire, they would have done it already.
I agree.
In the previous seasons.
All right, well, hold that thought. 610-632-0975. We're going to hit a break. It is Patty and Tyler Zulio on 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.